Hello everyone and welcome to D20 Dudes, the tabletop role-playing podcast where the die decides our topic and the God Emperor of Mankind controls your fate. I am Chapter Master Dylan.
I'm Battle Sister Jennifer.
And today we are going to be talking about the great, glorious, and all-knowing God Emperor of Mankind. His effects upon the lore of Warhammer 40K, where he fits into it, and how, even though he has sat upon his golden throne, mute and immovable for 10,000 years, how he still influences the Imperium of Man to this day. Jennifer, you've been doing your research like a good little girl. Tell me, what are the origins of the God Emperor of Mankind?
So, there's a couple of different stories, but the one that I can actually remember is that he is the reincarnation of thousands of priests. I forgot what the priests were. Shamans, not priests, excuse me, shamans. Who basically wanted to help save humanity from what was going on, what was starting to go on in the warp. And he had brothers and sisters, he had a mother, and his powers started growing rather quickly when he was young.
Indeed, for he is the amalgamation of the spirits of thousands of Psykers. A great and powerful man indeed. The Emperor was present throughout most of Earth's history, back when it was still called Earth and not Holy Terra. And though he was present, he took a back seat. He was not really known. He did some things kind of in the background, but no one knew he was there until the events of the fall of the Eldar. For humanity once ascended into the stars of their own volition. We were a great and powerful technocracy. We extended our reach all across the galaxy, using nothing but our own power and our knowledge into the Immaterium, the Warp, as it would come to be known. But great, terrible warp storms conspired to separate all the colonies of mankind from each other. They could not receive supplies, they could not receive word from each other, and over the course of hundreds, if not thousands of years, humanity on all these planets devolved to varying levels because they could no longer interact with each other, and as a result, became divided, separate, almost, in some cases, indistinguishable as humans. They were just gross, horrible things. And it was not until the fall of the Eldar, birthing the great evil Slaanesh, cursed be his or her or its name, that abated these warp storms and allowed mankind to traverse the stars once again to meet with our brothers and sisters. Jenny, what was the Emperor doing during this time when these warp storms had ravaged the galaxy and prevented mankind from contacting each other?
He was, if I remember correctly, unifying Earth, basically. Trying to get all of it under him so that he could then, in turn, unify the rest of humanity.
Correct.
Among the stars.
Known as the Unification Wars, it took the Emperor quite some time to bring all of Terra under his heel, because while mankind was struggling outwardly on all of its colonies, it was also struggling inwardly. Terra basically destroyed itself. We nuked ourselves to shit. We blew up the whole dang planet. And the Emps, Big E, said, nah, that ain't gonna do. That ain't gonna do at all. So he created the first iteration of what will be known as Space Marines, back then known as the Thunder Warriors. Very big, very tough, very powerful superhumans. But they were unstable and prone to going berserk and degrading and having to be put down like rabid dogs. They did not like that. The Thunder Warriors are very, very bitter. I don't think there's any left anymore, but boy, if there were.
I don't know if they survived all that long, but some of them did survive the culling and did their best to blend in with society because they knew if they were found out, they would have been killed. But everybody thought they were dead anyway, so.
Well, I would say, Yeah, it's pretty hard for like a 9 foot tall, bulked out, roided super soldier to blend in with society, I think.
Well, some of them had. But if they're still alive or not, I don't know. Probably not, because you know their bodies did not cope well with the enhancements.
Yeah, like imagine a berserk Shaquille O'Neal just barreling down the road, just punching everyone in the face, and their heads exploding on contact with his massive fist.
Boom!
Jennifer, during this time, a little story called The Last Priest took place. Do you know about this?
No. No, that was not in my research material.
I'm going to link you to a video after this. It's about an hour, maybe an hour and a half long. Definitely worth the watch. The Last Priest details, during the Unification Wars, the Emperor's ideology is that religion is a poison. It has no place among a civilized society. Religion gives people excuses to perform atrocities.
And while, that part I know.
While people are assholes, just kind of in general, it's you get enough dudes together, you're going to have some bad eggs. He believed that religion gave enough people simply a broad excuse to do very awful things. It gave them basically a free pass to do certain things because it was part of their religious beliefs, and the Emperor did not believe in that. He thinks every man should be held accountable, and that religion has no place in a civilized society because we should be focusing our efforts on scientific advancement and the betterment of all mankind.
He would not be happy with what's happening now.
He would absolutely be just so fucking livid with what's going on right now. So during this time, in the Unification Wars, the Emperor had managed to cleanse all but one religion from the world. A man known as Apocalypsis walked into a cathedral called the Church of the Lightning Stone and met with the last priest on Terra. And the two of them debated fiercely about whether or not religion has a place among the stars, among humanity. It was mostly a civilized discussion. People got heated, as people tend to do during discourse of this nature. But the Apocalypsis was trying to be civil, as was his opponent. And they talked back and forth, they bantered, and Apocalypsis showed this man of the cloth what the world could be without religion in it. And at the end of the day, this man decided, even if humanity was better off without religion, he was not. And as the Church of the Lightning Stone was burnt to the ground, and as Apocalypsis revealed himself to be the Emperor of Mankind, this man chose not to depart with him and travel the stars and see what humanity could be should it claim its birthright. He decided he was going to throw himself upon the fire and burn himself alive.
Goodness.
Big Imps is not perfect. And this was an interesting discourse, I think, because A, this man defied the Emperor. He had a differing view, and he stuck to it. He saw what the Emperor of Mankind was, this transhuman man of immortal and immutable power. And he said no. And also, because the Emperor, being a psyker, could have simply used his powers to forcibly change this man's mind. He could have done that. And he chose not to. So there was a time when the Emperor was a compassionate man, where he allowed people to make their own choices, whether or not he thought they were good ones. After the Unification Wars, the warp storms abated, and the Emperor took his Thunder Warriors out back and shot them all dead, and decided, I'm going to make my Primarchs. He made, with supposedly some warp-influenced technology, 21 suns that were meant to be perfect. Absolutely perfect in all ways. Each one having an ideology, a purpose with their life. Underneath his palace in the Himalayan Mountains, as they were then called, his 21 suns were gestated and created. And then The gods of chaos said, we're going to take your sons and fuck them all off into space. They're just gone. They're gone. But he had enough to create his space marines. And this is whenever the emperor started his great crusade. Jennifer, tell us about the start of the great crusade and what it meant for mankind.
Oh, goodness. I just read about it. I can't remember. I'll be honest. I remember that he started with the soul system. Basically to do a trial run of the Marines he had now. And from there alien slavers on, was it Jupiter and Saturn on the moons there that were wiped out, basically?
Oh, he purged the system of anything horrible, awful, and alien, for humans are the true rightful rulers of this galaxy. But one of the first and most important points of contact he made once the Emperor began traversing Mars. The stars was Mars, yes. For there he met the Mechanicum. The cult Mechanicum, to be precise. For on Mars, after it had been terraformed, was created a society that was super advanced, highly technological. But during this massive period of warp storm fuckery, they were not able to commune with Earth. They were not able to stay atop the surface of Mars, even, as nuclear hellfire blasted the surface back to the red planet that it once was. And everyone was forced underground, eventually devolving into a society where they worshipped machines. They believed in a machine god. And the only reason the Mechanicum is allowed to be a part of the Imperium, because they are not part of the Imperium as a whole. The Mechanicum is actually an allied but separate entity. A lot of people don't know that. But they are allowed to exist in this capacity because they know how the technology of the Imperium works, at least to some degree, even though it is all mired in voodoo and superstition. And without the Mechanicum, all of the Imperium's machines would grind to a halt. We would basically have nothing. We would have no tanks. We'd have no toasters. So as a result, the Mechanicum was brought into the fold, allowed to work semi-autonomously, became the Adeptus Mechanicus, and with their aid, he shot out into the greater galaxy to start reconquering the stars in the name of humanity. It was this that led him to finding the first of his now-lost Primarchs. Who was this first of the now-lost Primarchs, Jenny?
Horus.
Horus Lupercal. Being the first of the Primarchs to be found by the Emperor as he traveled the stars, Horus grew closer to the Emperor than any of his sons afterward. Even closer than Sanguinius, and that's saying something, because everyone loves Sanguinius. It doesn't matter who you are. You don't even have to know who Sanguinius is. You love Sanguinius. Listeners, you love Sanguinius.
You know you do.
You may not even know it, but you love Sanguinius. Everyone loves Sanguinius. And Horus, as the first of the Emperor's sons, kind of in this colloquial way, and the closest of the Emperor's son, eventually got named War Master of the Great Crusade. Whenever the Emperor decided that it was his time to take a step back, he had recovered most of his sons and allowed them to take control of their Space Marine legions who were made from their gene seed and kind of refit, rearm, and retrain them the way they saw fit. The Emperor decided to take a step back, and he named Horus Lupercal the War Master. And Horus found this to be a great honor, even though Horus himself harbored doubts that he deserved the title of War Master. Horus actually thought Sanguinius would have been a better fit. But the Emperor loved Horus more and gave him the title of War Master. And as that was proceeding apace, the Emperor went back to Terra to work on a secret project. Ooh, secret. Tell us about it, Jenny.
It was a webway for humanity.
The webway. The Eldar have a kind of in-between space, in between real space and the warp, known as the webway. Now, the warp is dangerous. The warp is filled with demons. The warp is filled with Rule 34 tentacle hentai and pencil drawings of the characters of Harry Potter having sex with each other. And he thought, that's no good. That's no good at all. We're going to have to put a stop to that. We need a safer way and a faster way to travel the stars. So he thought to enter into the Eldar Webway, to take it for himself and create a webway for humanity that would allow them to safely and quickly traverse the stars without the need for warp. What happened? What happened to that project?
Actually, the section I read didn't quite say what happened to that project. It just said basically he had to sit on that throne for a very... He couldn't get up from it because he had to protect the construction of the webway from the warp as people were building it.
So what happened? So one of the Emperor's most valued sons was a Primarch, Magnus the Red. Magnus was an incredibly potent psyker in his own right. He could reach into the warp and see and know things that even all of the powerful psykers of the people on his own planet that he was dropped onto, I cannot remember what it's called right off the top of my head, but Magnus had actually been speaking with the Emperor through their psychic connection before they even met. So whenever the Emperor eventually came and Magnus met him physically for the first time, there was no need for a lot of the trials and proving of self that most of the other Primarchs had to go through. Magnus just kneeled to the Emperor immediately and surrendered control of his planet because he already knew the Emperor. He knew his father and he respected him. And he knew the Emperor was the rightful leader of mankind. Magnus, at this point, found that the ruinous powers had gotten their hands on Horus. That Horus had begun to betray the Emperor and was gathering some of the other disgruntled Primarchs to his side. He knew that Horus had turned and he was planning on assassinating the Emperor and taking control of the Imperium for himself. He wanted to warn the Emperor. But there was a problem. That problem was that not too long previous, the Council of Nicaea had been held, and it was decided amongst the Primarchs and by the Emperor that psykers were too dangerous and that they were not to use their powers without express permission from the Emperor himself. This sent Magnus into a depression because he was close to the Emperor. He loved the Emperor. The Emperor was his father, and he felt a connection with Big E deeper than he did with any of his brothers. And to be betrayed like this was a serious blow to his health. It was damaging for him. But once he learned that Horus had betrayed him, he said, I need to warn the Emperor immediately. So he used his power to blast through the psychic barriers that protected the Imperial Palace and try and warn the Emperor of Horus's betrayal. But in destroying those wards, they allowed the influences of chaos to flood themselves into the webway that the Emperor was trying to conquer for himself and destroyed the webway project. Big E was mad.
Did not believe Magnus.
He did not believe Magnus. He did not believe that Horus would betray him. So he sent another one of his sons, Leman Russ, my big daddy Space Wolf, to go capture Magnus. Said, go get him, bring him back. He's going to get spanked. Russ, to his credit, set off. He was going to go capture Magnus. But on the way, Horus intercepted him and said, Dad changed his mind. He wants you to execute Magnus. And Horus, whom nobody knew had gone traitor at this point, spoke with the voice of the Emperor himself. Russ, already not liking Magnus for being a nasty ass little psyker, decided that sounds about right. And when they made Planetfall, decided that they were going to just completely obliterate this planet. They were going to kill Magnus. The Space Wolves were going to destroy the whole planet. It was just going to be done and over with. Magnus, to his credit, knew that Russ was coming, had lowered all the void shields, told all of his citizens to evacuate, and told all of his Marines to stand down. They knew that Russ was coming, and he was just going to submit to his fate. But he did not know what Horus had done, and it wasn't until the wolves were just slaughtering all of his Thousand Sons Marines that he decided to finally take a stand against Russ himself, ended up getting his back broken, and Tzeentch took him. And Magnus unwillingly became one of the Chaos Primarchs. Magnus done fucked up this project. He did not mean to, but he done fucked up. It was after this, a whole bunch of more shenanigans happened, and eventually it was found out through the Drop Site Massacre and a few other events that Horus had gone traitor, taking fully half of his Primarch brothers with him, and they were now going to assault Terra. Terra was assaulted. Many of the Primarchs were slain. The Emperor was not able to directly intervene because he had to go into the Webway to slaughter thousands and thousands of demons to prevent them from flooding into the Imperial Palace. Eventually, there was a standoff. The Emperor fought his most beloved son, Horus, whom he saw had fallen so far that whenever a single man, supposedly a single guardsman, stood up to Horus as he was going to make the final blow against the Emperor. And of course, Horus, being a Primarch, just kind of laughed and crushed the dude. And seeing Horus so callously kill a human, a man who could not stand up to him in any way, just so callously destroy and extinguish a life, even after having killed Sanguinius, who at least was an equal, he knew that Horus could not be saved, and the Emperor did not only kill Horus Lupercal, but obliterated his very soul. But the Emperor himself was still grievously wounded, and he was interred upon the Golden Throne so that he could be put into stasis and his mind could continue to power the Astronomicon, which was his great psychic beacon that allowed all of the navigators to see and navigate the warp and allow faster-than-light travel within the Imperium. This was 10,000 years ago. The Emperor of Mankind was known as a man who valued science, who did not believe in gods, who believed that mankind had a right to the galaxy, and that only through logic and reason and scientific advancement could mankind reach its true potential.
He was so against religion that when I already forgot the name, it was like Logan.
Lorgar?
Yeah,
him. Lorgar Aurelian?
Yeah, and his world bearers were basically going around telling people that the Emperor is God, you know, worship him. He confronted them, forced them to kneel to him, and told them, stop that shit!
And the funny thing is, Lorgar did not in fact stop that shit. Nope. And so he sent the Ultramarines to go burn their planet down. It's like, listen, asshole, you're gonna follow my instructions.
And that is, he was the start of the Horus Heresy.
Yes. Lorgar was, in fact, the one who initiated the entire Horus Heresy. People want to do the whole hashtag blame Magnus. Well, guess what? It's Lorgar's fault, people.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is, because he couldn't let go of his desire to worship something.
Then he started worshiping gross things. 10,000 years have passed. What's the Imperium like now, Jenny? Tell me about it.
I think the Emperor would burn it to the ground.
The Emperor might be a little upset.
And people are getting killed for any and all reasons or no reason at all. The Emperor's worshipped as a god now.
It is the state religion, the Imperial cult. Yeah. You worship the Emperor or you die.
Yeah, which is decidedly not what he wanted. It is historically proven this is not what he wanted.
But?
And it has caused the Imperium to stagnate somewhat.
It has. And the Ministorum has destroyed all records from the Horus Heresy back, so no one remembers the Emperor from that time and what his beliefs were, other than the scant few Marines who were there, who actually met the Emperor during their time, which was 10,000 years ago. There are very few Space Marines who are still alive that were around back then. I can think of maybe Bjorn the Fell-Handed may have met the Emperor. He certainly met Leman Russ. He was one of Leman Russ's most beloved generals. And I believe for a while he was the chapter master of the Space Wolves. But since no one remembers the Emperor, no one knows what his beliefs were as closely as his sons did, most of which who are gone now, people began to worship the Emperor as this all-knowing, all-seeing deity, that he was a literal god made flesh. The Mechanicum still see him as the Omnissiah, the living avatar of their machine god. So even the Mechanicus, to a degree, feeds into this emperor worship. Now, this is exactly against what the emperor wants, but it does still, from time to time, actually benefit the Imperium, at least in their combat endeavors. Because...
gives them some protection.
Yeah, it does give them some protection. The way that the warp works is that if something is believed in and worshipped long enough, like ideas that feed into the Immaterium, eventually these things become true. And 10,000 years of billions and billions and billions of people worshipping the Emperor as a god have, in fact, turned him into a god. And I'm sure he's pissed about it, truth be told. But he has taken advantage of this situation to create his living saints. A lot of people believe that the Legion of the Damned is some crazy-ass, demon-ass-looking space marines, but they work for the Imperium's benefit in their hour of most dire need. And some people believe that those space marines are demons of the Emperor, greater demons of the Emperor. Saint Celestine, who was a living person, has ascended to becoming an angelic, almost deity-like figure in her own right, who will also show up in the time of the Imperium's greatest need and work to save the Imperium at the behest of potentially the Emperor himself, infusing her with his holy might. The Sisters of Battle so fervently believe in the Emperor as a god that they can actually interrupt the usage of psychic powers, despite none of them being psychers themselves. Their belief is so fervent in the Emperor of Mankind that they can look at a psyker and say, "You are a witch and you will be burned," and prevent them from using their powers simply through force of will alone.
It is utterly fascinating.
It's gotten super hardcore. Not only that, but 10,000 years since his internment into the Golden Throne, one of his sons has come back. One of his loyal sons, I should say. Many of the Chaos Primarchs have been running around and wrecking shop for a while. Magnus has been around. He's pretty pissed at the Space Wolves, and he's been attacking the Fang on occasion from the Planet of the Sorcerers and the Warp. Mortarion's been fucking around Ultramar trying to kill the Ultramarines. Who knows where Fulgrim is, but he's a snake man now. Angron's been stomping around. Ugh. But Angron's just kind of a fuck-up in general. The demon Primarchs are still about. Lorgar and the loyalist Primarchs, the ones that remain, like Leman Russ disappeared into the warp, Jagatai Khan is somewhere in the webway. Lionel Johnson is having himself a big sad boy cry in the center of the rock where none of his Dark Angel Marines know he's there. Who knows where Vulcan is? He was just like, "I'll be back," and then dipped. And no one's seen him since. And Roboot Gilliman, the Primarch of the Ultramarines, was damn near killed. He was mostly decapitated, and his Ultramarine sons placed him in a stasis pod where time had nearly stopped, and for 10,000 years, Gilliman was on McCrag in the center of Ultramar as basically an object of worship for the Ultramarines, and it wasn't until Yvrain, which is a weird thing, an Eldari, made it onto McCrag with Saint Celestine and Belisarius Kahl, and I think a few other people. There was like some inquisitors there who were like, "Hey, we're going to take this Xeno and we're going to let her bring Gilliman back." And the Ultramarines were like, "No. Why is there a Xeno on our planet? Get the fuck out of here." But she actually managed to use the powers of her god of death, Ennead, to resurrect Gilliman with the help of Belisarius's super special regenerative armor that he put on Gilliman, that Gilliman can now no longer take off. But there is a loyalist Primarch at the head of the Imperium now.
Sweet.
And in recent stories, in Tales of the Black Library, Gilliman was actually facing off against Mortarion in the Gardens of Nurgle. And Mortarion had inflicted Gilliman with a virus so virulent that even a Primarch could not survive it. And he was on death's door until the Emperor's very own Holy Spirit entered into Gilliman and through him said, "Mortarion, perhaps one day you may return to the fold, but for now you must go back to your own master," and set the flame of justice and righteous bullshit into Nurgle's garden. And he also shouted into the warp, "I am Gilliman, the Emperor's last remaining loyal son," which I'm sure pissed off all of his other remaining loyal sons. So I'm really hoping to see some of them come back. But there's been a lot of things where for 10,000 years, the Emperor being an object of worship, we haven't seen much direct intervention from him, aside from these possibly Emperor demonic things. Possibly these living saints are getting power from the Emperor himself or are a direct kind of intervention, but we don't really know. But the Emperor speaking through Gilliman himself is a, "Hey, I'm back, baby. And things are about to start fucking changes around here." So we've been seeing a lot of that recently.
I didn't know that. That is really cool.
I don't like it as much. But hey, you got any final thoughts? Because we're coming up on our time here.
No. I mean, maybe things will go back to the way the Emperor intended them to go now that he's starting to voice his opinion again.
We can only hope. But remember, my friend, until then, believe in the Emperor or you're going to heresy jail.
Of course.
So, that's our time for this week. We're going to roll that d20 and see what next week's topic is going to be. 17. Oh, we're going to talk about fighters and Pathfinder.
Uh-oh.
These are kind of the bread and butter. A fighter's a fighter. But they're very interesting. Fighters can be a lot of things. So that's what we'll talk about next week. Socials, facebook.com/d20dudes. We've got a Facebook store where I'm selling 3D prints, hand-painted 3D prints. If you want something 3D printed and hand-painted, hit me up on there. I am very reasonably priced, and I charge you nothing for shipping. Twitter.com/d20dudes. I've been talking to Hulky Crow on Twitter. That dude's a dope guy. You should go check out him. Twitter.com/HulkyCrow. He's a real cool dude. He works, he did work for If the Emperor Had a Text-to-Speech Device, so he knows a lot about this good old 40K shit, too. Patreon.com/D20Dudes if you would like to support the podcast and get a few little extra tidbits. Sometimes I make little voice drama projects, and I give them to my patrons because it's fun. And if you want to join the Discord, discord.gg/F3D capital M lowercase ZY5. That's also going to be down in the description because we can't afford a custom link. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you in next week's episode. Bye-bye.